Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Are you all doing things in such a way that that what you are a part of, your life, your Christian life, can you multiply your life in the life of someone you may meet tomorrow? Can you help them? Can you help? Is your house church being done in such a way that if you met a new family on the other side of town tomorrow that you shared with them about what the church looks like, you could then model it for them and it would be easy for them to do what you're doing?
Right.
You know, are we doing things in a way that allow for multiplication to happen when God wants it to? In other words, we're not controlling it so much. We're not structuring things to death. We're not depending on one person. You know, all these values sort of tie in together. But are we doing things in such a way, and are we living a life that can be easily multiplied, and that the church can be easily multiplied, you know? And so everybody has to sort of work through that on their own, because I do think it's possible that, you know, if we don't believe that, you know, it's a faith issue. It's a saying like, well, we're going to do things this way for the hope of it multiplying. Now, we may not see that tomorrow or next year.
And that's our strategy always with the students. Again, back to the international students. That's our strategy, is to, when we disciple a new believer from another culture, maybe the first instinct shouldn't be, hey, let's invite them to a big church, even if they want to go. Maybe the better instinct is show them these simple church rule, you know, simple church formats, so that, you know, when they go back to their country where they may not be able to meet in a church, they may not be able to meet in a mega church or a large church, have nice music, but maybe they have a living room that, you know, no one's going to spy on them. They know how to do church because they've seen us do it. They know, and they participated in that, and they can do it.
Well, I mean, we could talk about this as a whole show, but we've talked certainly about this idea and this value, and it remains a high value for me. I really long and believe that God is multiplying His church. He's multiplying disciples, and again, those are in that order: disciples, and then the church multiplies. But I do believe that, this is one of those things too that. There's no, you know, people a lot of times come up with formulas on how to make this happen, and I just think that's a danger that we have to guard against. But at the same time, I think we do have to be honest with ourselves and say, you know, are we being intentional about believing? Do we believe that God could start 100 simple churches through our community? And if we do believe that, then are we doing things in such a way that that could happen? You know, are we sliding off into an area where we're not modeling something that's easily produced? Have we become dependent on things that are extra biblical for us to exist? Mm-hmm. And I think those sorts of things can be a bottleneck. Well, moving on through here, community or family, what does that look like, Tom, in your all's simple church? Do you all see that value? How do you see that value of family being played out?
Well, family as in biblical family, nuclear family, man and woman for life, things like that. That is very central to what we believe. And again, it's back to the homeschool. We're very, very conservative on, you know, socially, in issues like that. So yeah, family is everything. Mm-hmm. I've been at our church long enough to see us go from homeschool families with very small kids to now we're grandparents and our kids are grown up and they're starting to have kids, and time will tell how those values will be passed on. So we're kind of seeing the fruit of that, but it's a little early, you know. Sometimes we're just getting them married off and just starting to have kids, but. Family values as Yeah, you caught me off guard.
Well, let me ask you this then, on just thinking of, here would be the way to frame this question. When you think about if God's church is to be to function like a family.
Yeah.
You know, how, in what ways, when you, and this is always a hard one, I think, because some people don't, they've never seen what does a loving family look like? So you might say to someone, well, the church is a family. They're like, well, I don't want to be a part of that. Every family I've been a part of has abused me and hurt me, and, you know. But if we can imagine God, a loving family as God designed it, and how do you see your simple church behaving or functioning in that way? What are some just like little examples or big examples of the ways that you all have seen that idea of we're not just a group of people that get together and then we check our box and go home, but like we really do, we take this family thing serious. How have you seen that growing? There's no church that's perfectly in that way, but how have you seen maybe over the years that played out or grow, that idea of church as family?
Well, I'll tell you, we've had single people come to our church, and you know, we're made up of singles, we're made up of families, we're made up of couples, we're made up of multi-generational families. But I like to see when like a family will take in a single and just nurture them and disciple them, just love on them, meet their needs, and walk beside them, you know, because they don't have the family that we do. They don't have the dad that they can go talk to, or they don't have the mom they can go talk to, or the uncle, or so. Hey, you know, that we'll put our arm around their shoulder and say, hey, let's go get a coffee, or hey, you want to go camping this weekend, or something like that. I got one of the guys will take them hunting,
yeah,
you know, deer hunting, or when it's not hunting season, we'll take them out photographing deer, yeah, or something like that. So, yeah, there's always that. We are heavy into practicing the one another's, you know, the love one another, encourage one another,
yeah,
even the admonish one another, or but certainly to pray for one another. There's a lot of positive one another's. There's a lot of negative one another's too, yeah, that we're trying, you know, to do in the right way. I think one of the tests to see how we're doing community is, do we meet one another? Do we hang out with one another apart from our meetings, you know, apart, yeah, from our gatherings? We'll come over to some guy's house and help him build a deck, you know, or,
yeah,
meet a need, something, yeah, like that. And, or we'll just watch TV. We used to have World War II movie night, you know. We'd come over and watch a movie, you know. And,
all right. Well, that's good. And then last one that we kind of talked about.
What about you? No, you're not getting off scot-free.
I'm going to go off. I'll go through mine at the end here.
No.
But mission, how does that look? How does that look in your all's group?
Okay, you go first this time.
All right. Well, how does that work? Yeah, you don't want me to put you on the spot. So, yeah, I think for me, you know, when I think about, again, the loving God, loving each other, the Great Commandment, and then the discipleship aspect of the Great Commission, those being kind of the two main things. I mean, I think right now for our group, it's an area of growth for sure, and that, yeah, it always will be. But, you know, I think I'm trying to feel that out and to say, hey, are we, you know, when I think about our group, and there's some new folks we've had come, and we have some folks that have been coming but are there every so often, but I'm always kind of thinking, you know, hey, what is a, and I'm asking the question, you know, what does this look like? What does discipleship look like for all of us in here, you know? And and sometimes, you know, folks have, oh, well, this is what it looks like, or it's very evident because people come in, they're talking about people that they are actively loving and engaging in their neighborhood or sharing, you know, they would say, mm-hmm, in some level, like, I am involved in a disciple-making friendship with this person. They might even, mm-hmm, say that. They may not say that, but, you know, if you ask them about it, that you hear stories about, you know, this person that that they feel like God's placed in their life, you know? So I would say for about half of the folks, maybe, or maybe a little more in our simple church, that there's an intentional relationship that's happening. And probably for some of the others that, you know, for various reasons that may not be happening presently, but it's something that I think, you know, I always try to bring up is to say, hey, you know, I've even used the term, I think even on this podcast, almost like, hey, I really see this group as almost a support group. Like this value is so important that we're almost like a support group for people who are making disciples, you know, like that's really what the church is. Like we're all disciple makers. We're all part of loving God, loving others. And that looks a lot like making disciples, you know, and there might be different styles and ways that we do that. But if someone were to ask the question, you know, hey, what is making disciples look like in your life? You know, that there's a sense, they have a sense of what, how God's gifted them to do that or what that looks like. And there's either, you know, there's some sort of intentionality happening in that in some way, form or fashion, you know. And again, we can sometimes get narrow-minded in what that has to look a certain way for it to count. And I don't believe that. And I think that's dangerous. You know, if you're not doing this study or this method or this thing, you know, it's like, oh, but you know, I'm always asking that question. Tell me about that. Let's go around the room. What is disciple making looking like for all of us right now? And for some folks, that's very much focused at, you know, on their children. And certainly, if we look at Jesus' life, there's not, you know, depending on what your life's like and where you're at, you're not going to have an emotional capacity to do that with 20 people. You know, especially if you have a lot of children. But you know, I like to believe that all of us, you know, we have that. There's probably at least one person. We have the capacity to invest our lives and help with one person at least. That's not in our family, our immediate family. You know, maybe who that is, I don't know. But and the reason I say that is because if I'm not making room for that in my life, then what am I modeling to my kids? You know, I think sometimes we say, well, I'm primarily focused on my children, and that's good. I mean, there may be seasons of that, but for me, focusing on my children would hopefully be modeling for them a lifestyle that says, you know, this person is coming over for dinner tonight because God's put them in our life. Like, I meet with him and I'm trying to share about Christ with this person, and we want to pray for them that they come to know the Lord, and we want to help them learn about God because they're hungry and they're asking questions. So that's why they're coming over for dinner. You know, you're modeling to your kids a life that's, you know, beyond your own four walls of your house. So I don't know. That's how I would answer it for us. I think probably about, you know, in my own life, you know, there's a guy I meet with pretty regularly that I would say it's very much focused on disciple making. He and again, I don't view that as I'm the master and he's the peasant, you know, understudy. It's more of where I think we're sharpening each other in that. Yeah. But that happens regularly, and it involves us trying to help each other get in the Word and pray for lost people, and then just hold each other accountable to obeying the things God's saying to us on an individual basis, you know.
This is one of those things that we've noticed that no matter how much you talk about it, you know, you could read the Great Commission, you could study it, you know, every Sunday. But if you're not modeling it, if you don't have a way to demonstrate it, then that lesson just gets lost. I mean, then you're just talking about missions. But you know, we in our church we talk about missions, and then, you know, praise God, we've got these former missionaries and people that are always looking for something. You know, hey, I'm going to invite this person over. Or we've got one guy that he likes, if there's a festival somewhere in, you know, in the county, he'll go there and witness. I mean, he'll just say, any teenagers want to go with me, we're going to go out and witness. And he'll show them how to do it. He'll show them real simple, easy techniques. We've organized some mission trips in the past, and you know, we've been parts of mission trips. So You have to have a way to demonstrate that and not just talk about it.
Yeah. And usually, you know, there's no, you know, I'm always listening for names, you know, of people like, you know, I think sometimes we can have, you know, like I'm always like, tell me about the person. Who's that person that God's placed in your life right now that, you know, he's put them there, put put that person there for you to love them and to mm-hmm. share Christ's love with them. And, you know, again, that's not that you're above them. A lot of times those folks are the ones that are teaching us the most, you know, and mm-hmm. about God and those relationships. But if we look around our lives, you know, tell me their name so I can write it down. And because if I don't write it down, I'll forget. But I want to pray. That's important to me. You know, I want to know the name of that person, and I want to pray for them, and I want to pray that God blesses that, because that could be the seeds of multiplication for sure happening. But it always starts with usually one person and one other person, you know. And is there somebody in your life that you've been thinking about calling and inviting them over to lunch or for coffee to offer to pray for them or to share the gospel with them, you know? And who is that person? I want to know about it. Let's pray together about that. You know, those are important things. And so I think for us trying to live that mission out is that's how, you know, I think I'm trying to implement that in our community. Mm-hmm.
And now, Acting Out. Acting Out is the segment of our show when we look at the book of Acts in the Bible and find lessons from the early church. In this brief segment, we ask ourselves, if the first century church turned the world upside down then, what could the church today do equally well in the 21st century? The Hitchhiker. In Acts chapter 8, we read the incredible story of Philip, the deacon slash evangelist. He was prompted by an angel of the Lord to go to a desert road and wait for instructions. As a chariot carrying a state official from Ethiopia rode by, Philip overheard the official reading from the prophet Isaiah. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, Philip dared to ask the official if he knew what he was reading. The Ethiopian's answer to Philip's question is fascinating. He could have bluffed and postured and said, "Well, of course I understand what I'm reading, you silly peasant. I'm an important government official riding in this fancy chariot, and you think I can't figure out Isaiah?" Instead, he gave Philip an honest answer. "No, I don't understand this. How can I unless someone explains it to me?" By the way, this Ethiopian is in good company. Most seminary students have asked that same question, believe me. Seriously, this Ethiopian represents more people than we realize. He was someone who was not a Jew, didn't know the culture, he didn't grow up reading the scriptures, but he was an educated man, he clearly loved the scriptures, he loved God, but he could not connect the dots of what Isaiah wrote hundreds of years earlier to what had recently happened in Jerusalem in his day. God sent Philip to that Ethiopian that day in order to open his eyes to what he was reading. Philip started with the prophecy that Isaiah wrote about the coming Messiah, and explained to the Ethiopian all about the incarnate, crucified, and risen Messiah. Oh, I wish we had a transcript of that conversation. What a sermon that would have been. Because Philip made that scripture clear, and because he connected the dots to Jesus, the Ethiopian gave his life to Christ that day. In the contemporary church, we tend to leave such conversations to the, quote, experts. Most of us would punt that question to someone who is a professional, a seminary-trained pastor or theologian. But what if the only person running alongside that chariot that day was me or you? Could I answer his question about the scriptures? Do I know enough about the Bible to be able to have a conversation about the 53rd chapter of Isaiah? Could I segue from there to explaining Jesus? Could I explain the gospel so effectively that a person would immediately ask to be baptized? Well, first of all, that Ethiopian's response or anyone else's response is never dependent on our abilities. Like Philip, we have the help of the Holy Spirit. He will help us recall the scriptures and will help us explain them. That's what he does. But the Spirit can't help us recall something that was never there in the first place. How can we explain Isaiah or any other book of scripture if we've never read it? Philip wasn't a scholar, but he did know the scriptures. The uneducated fishermen who became Jesus' apostles, they knew the scriptures. The early church knew the scriptures because they were all devoted to reading and hearing them. Can we say that? Look, we don't have to go to seminary to know our Bibles, but we do have to read the Bibles. We have to listen to them. We have to study them. The scriptures are how we know about God and how we know God. Without having a basic understanding of what's in the Bible, we will never be able to answer an unbeliever's question. We can never counter their arguments or defend our faith without knowing scripture. You just never know when someone riding in a chariot or a limo or a pickup truck will pull up next to you and ask you to explain the scriptures to them. It could happen. Read the Bible and go turn the world upside down. Is there another one?
That's the one, all I had written.
That's all you had? There. Okay, yeah.
But, I mean, there's, you know, there's lots of other things, but those were the five that we sort of...
What about the name? The name of our podcast is Simple Church. What about the simplicity? Is that a value or is that just a description? Is it something you have to work
at? That's a misnomer.
It's a misnomer. It's not as simple as it looks. Is that what you're saying?
No. You know, I think that could be because, you know, I think, again, in all of this, like, every value we've talked about, you could go find a book that's going to give you a million things to try and do. And I think
to make it more simple.
I think, again, it is about chilling a bit, you know, because all of these things are values that we're hoping to see happen, but it's the realization that God is the one that's going to grow these and do and bring all of these things about. You know, He's going to grow us, and He is in charge. And the simplicity comes, I think, when we have Him properly placed as the head of the church, and we realize that, you know what, like, that we don't have to try to do a bunch of stuff, but we, you know, we can just keep our eyes on Him and focus our hearts on Him and trust that He will guide and direct us and be willing to go where He leads, you know. And so I think the simplicity for me is that, you know, when I think of simple, the idea of simple, simplicity was a value, to me it all comes down to, like I said, one, really, like, loving God, and is there one other person that I'm loving? You know, and if, you know, if I've got that and everybody's got that and they can, you know, and maybe they're not doing a good job at that, or they don't, but they know, man, I think the Lord, you know, I'm loving this other person. I'm trying to show them Christ, man. If we're doing that, and whoever that is, then that's about as simple as it gets to me. And that's the heartbeat of Simple Church, you know, and it isn't about just simplifying our church meetings, because that's, you know, we're not trying to make the Christian life more easy. You know, we are trying to, I think, these values can be challenging to live out and to think about, because it does require us to take up our cross and follow Christ and to do things that are uncomfortable and to be people that sometimes are uncomfortable, you know. And so I think that's the challenge with the idea of simplicity. I think it is simple, but it shouldn't be easy or not challenging or not difficult, you know, because... those two things, I think, are true at the same time, can be true at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
What about you?
What?
Simplicity.
Simplicity. Oh, gosh. Simplicity can be very complex sometimes. but, yeah, I find there are times when I'm the one designated to teach that week, so I won't spend the whole week, but I'll spend several hours reading and script, you know, outlining things like that. I'm not preparing a sermon, but preparing a discussion, and then we'll show up to the meeting, and God has totally different plans, and so I could get frustrated and say, well, I spent all that time preparing, but actually, you know, God had a better plan for that evening or that morning or whatever. And it turned out that because God did what He did, because He intervened and shut my plans down, it came out for the better. His plan was way better than my plan. So when He's in charge, it is simple. That's very simple. Now, that's not to say that, you know, you don't have to ever do any planning or ever have to do any preparation or anything like that, because you do. But, you know, part of being simple is being flexible.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Being flexible, being willing to yield, you know, to the Spirit and yield your plans. And, yeah. Whereas in a large structured church, you know, you couldn't think of doing that, especially if it's televised or on the radio, or yeah, you got to go according to the plan. You got to go to the plan.
Yeah.
So, and this plan might be simple, but still, you got to go by the plan.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That may or may not be God. It could be, but we like to hope it is.
Well, I think, you know, my hope and prayer for all of us, you know, again, you may come up with different titles, names, and maybe you have an extra value that you might say, or maybe you would disagree with all these, I don't know. But, as I think about these values, I think these are the values that we see in the church and in the Bible, and it's, those are just some little things that I think I do value. I value all of this is sort of tied in with why I'm doing Simple Church and what sort of my passions of it is. And I think that when we can declutter and simplify things, that these five values, or maybe you would reword them into two or three or whatever, but these things we've just discussed, to me, simply focusing on these things, you know, that's part of the simplifying too. I mean, it may sound overwhelming or it sound like a lot, but I think that it's all being connected to the vine, and then he produces the fruit. And mission happens, community and multiplication, and we start to live as ministers, and God's word starts to kind of spread and change and transform. But you know, there's a whole lot of other things on here by virtue of being Simple Church that even, you know, we're saying we're not going to give these value because we don't see that they're valuable in Scripture, and they may be okay. They may be of some value in this life.
What do you mean by that?
Well, or just whether it's the things we talk about, the programs, the budgets, the buildings, all of these sorts of things that we talk about, you know, we don't want to get caught up investing a lot of our energy in valuing those things. We want to value these things, and keep it simple in that regard.
Well, one of the things that wasn't on your list, but one of the things maybe it's a value, maybe it's just a side effect of doing Simple Church, but accountability. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that we're in a smaller group, that we're very intimate, that, you know, I know everything about the person in the room next to me, and they know everything about me. They know what I'm thinking. They know my characteristics, and that's a lot of accountability.
Yeah.
And if I'm straying from that, if I'm caught in sin or anything like that, it's going to be obvious. It's going to be very visible. So, you know, that when we practice the one another's that we mentioned earlier, there's a very high degree of accountability one towards another, which sounds kind of scary, but it really is a good thing. It's something that God is put in the church.
Yeah, and I think that would be, you know, very in line with the idea of the value of family. I mean, that's because you know, it's a side effect of the church being a family, a real family. I mean, when you have a true family that loves each other, I mean, you know everything.
Yeah.
You're not letting, oh, my son's just decided to go out and do some drugs, I'm not going to say anything to him about it. You know what I mean? Like, you love your family, you're going to be like, man, this is a major issue. Like, we care about him. You know, we're going to figure out how to handle this. You know, those sorts of things. Yeah. There's accountability there when you have a loving family that's in each other's business in good ways. So, I appreciate you talking through those things, and it's good to hear a little bit about your community and how some of this looks in yours, and maybe it's something that, you know, you can continue. We can all, you know, anyone listening, perhaps, you know, maybe think through how would you answer some of these questions about mission and community and multiplication and the priesthood of all believers being lived out and biblical truth permeating in your group. Like, there's not like a checklist or a very good, very poor, you know, average. I mean, it's just a conversation, you know, but I think those are some things to kind of good to meditate on, to think and ask Lord, like, Lord, how do you, you know, are we a group of people that these sorts of things are happening? And my experience has been, I said, you know, if you have time to think about it, it might be happening more than you realize, you know, because the enemy tends to discourage us by thinking, well, we're not really doing anything to reach the lost, or I don't think we are much of a family. We're kind of a group of strangers, or, you know, man, look at us. We've not seen God do anything in the regards of multiplying the gospel or his people. And, you know, you can sometimes forget that, oh yeah, like 2 years ago that did happen, or last, you know, earlier this year that person did, we were able to share with that person, and you know, and now they're doing this, I didn't even think about it, you know. And sometimes just asking these questions and wrestling with it reminds you of folks that maybe would be really of a lot of wonderful things that God is doing that we don't even sometimes fail to realize. So
yeah, there are clearly areas we could improve on. I know in our church we could clearly improve on several areas. But overall, you know, what we do good, we do very. What we do well, we do well, and you know, we're praying God helps us to do the other things.
Well, and it's a journey, right? I mean, it is a journey. I mean, these sorts of conversations aren't intended to be like a job, like a, you know, like an inter. You know, it's intended just to be like, hey, like. I think if you're listening to this podcast, you know, I would imagine no one really has an issue with any of these things being important, mm-hmm. you know, to the church. So it's just kind of looking at like, man, like, you know, Lord, these are opportunities for us to grow. Like, I would love for our church to grow more as a family, and I would love for us to see us grow in all these areas. You know, I would love I would love to see that, but that'll happen in time. And you know, all we can do is put one foot in front of the next and just keep connected to Christ and letting Him be the leader and ruler of all that we're about. So thanks, Tom, for chatting with us today about
it. Yeah, thank you, Gavin, for bringing those up. Those are good reminders, and like to hear them every once in a while.
Hey, if you'd like to drop us a line, let us know how your simple church is doing, and maybe you have a different take on this conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Just reach out to us at keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook as well. Also, all of these values are listed under the About section on simplechurchalliance.com. And check that out if you've not been there. And thanks for listening. We hope to see you back next time.
All right. We'll see you. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.